If you want to ride high, they'll show you the road. Two swell guys to help shoulder the load. On the way, highway. They'll take a ride on the way, highway.
It's time for the Way Highway here on Adobe Radio with your hosts, Sean Cowig and Kristen Sanchez.
Hey, ya hi guys and your shy fries. Welcome to the Way Highway on Adobe Radio. That's IDOBI.com radio. This voice that you're hearing right now is your hostel with the postal. It's Mr. Sean Cowig, stoned for days. And with me, as always, co-piloting this plane of palpable potteries is the one and only Kristen Sanchez. Hi, Kristen.
Support your postal service. If you'd like to follow Sean Cowig, you could do that at Sean Cowig. If you'd like to follow me, you could follow me at Siren16X. And if you'd like to follow the Way Highway, you could do that at the Way Highway. Or you could send us an email at wayhighway@adobe.com and tell us about that one time you ate so many things because you were so fucking high, and it was a hilarious story.
Oh, man.
We want to hear about it.
We want to know about that. We don't want to know about that. Do you ever find it weird when you're announcing things that have both an at and an at in it? And what I mean is the word at, but also an A squiggly that means at, because then you're like at, and it's a double at, and it's not even an at, like a
Star Wars. Not a chicken walker.
Not a chicken walker. Nope. It's not a, no, it is not that. So I commend you because I forced you to do that part of the show and I just do the weird roller coaster at the beginning. Thank you, Kristen.
I mean, it's a fair trade. And a fun ride every time.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. We got a rockin' episode today. Eventually, we're going to do a very, hey, vote-centric episode of The Way Highway. We have a fantastic special guest here today, and I'm not going to stall anymore. I won't bring dude right into the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, get ready for actor, comedian, my really good friend, and my back-in-the-day sketch mate in several a main stage sketch show at the one and only former IO Toothbrush. It's the one and only John Moody. Hey, buddy.
My man, what is going on?
Dude.
God damn. So first of all, just know I'm going to say goddamn a lot because
I love
seen
it.
You in a minute.
Yep.
And so I'm just going to be like, God damn. God damn.
I love it. I love it.
It's been too long. Mm. And you know what's crazy, man? Like, we always talk about the good old days, right?
Yep.
And when we were doing those shows, I don't think we knew those were the good old, those were going to become the good old days.
No. No, not at all. Yep.
I thought other days were the good old days. Mm-hmm. And then looking back now, I'm like, that. So now I know that today is a good old day. At some point, we'll be looking back on this shit saying, oh man, this was dope. We got the guy, we saw each other on this Zoom thing during the pandemic of 2020. And it, well, I don't know how good it is because this has been kind of a fucked up pandemic.
Yes.
But
we'll look back on this.
Yeah. It's been a bumpy ride for sure. But honestly, I love this so much. And really, I've been using the Way Highway to kind of do this. Reconnect with people, people I haven't seen in a while. And Moody, like, you're just a fantastic figure in my life because we were closely connected. We were doing those shows together. We were in main stage sketch shows together, which I'm sure we'll talk more about. But since then, you show up. And it's kind of incredible. Like, I don't see you for a while. And then, like, I would have been at the IO bar. I haven't seen you for a while. And I turn to my right and you're there. And it's amazing. And I love that so much.
Yeah. I mean, there will be times when I would just be sitting around like, damn, you know, I haven't seen anybody, whatever. And you miss those connections. And I'm like, shit, I'm just going to roll up to IO West and just take a chance. Or maybe I'm walking down the street and I see you at the bar. And I'm like, watch this. I'm just going to sit down, you know, and then you go turn around and be like, oh, shit. And, you know, like, it's a cliche from Cheers, but it's cool when you go to a place where, well, at least the bartender knows your name.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that was cool, man. So, and I would always run into somebody that was from Main Stage Sketch or one of the other shows. The the new show they did?
Top Story Weekly.
Top Story Weekly. You see somebody from Top Story Weekly, and that was us always cool, man. So I always enjoyed going there. It really sucks that's no more. But we won't get too deep into that because the building's gone, but we're still here. So.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
That's how we're going to look at that.
Uh-huh. I'm waiting to see what the shape of the phoenix that rises out of the ashes is going to be, you know, because something's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm very I'm excited for that. And I was actually just talking about this the other day with a buddy about how it won't be the same. Like, we won't be the architects of the chaos, but we can show up and watch the architects of the chaos sowing the chaos.
Right.
Yeah. Good old days, dude. Do you, like, what sketches did we do? I look back on the Main Stage Sketch shows and I'm like, whoo, buddy. There was.
I just watched one because what I did is I kind of reconnected, and it was so funny. I went on Facebook. I guess it was, you know, I was missing everybody. And I made a group message and I put up some of the old sketches we did. I don't think anybody responded because who looks at their Facebook messages? Nobody.
Right.
I did find the one we did with Echo Kellum.
Uh-huh.
Montego Brixton. Remember my Jamaican character who was a washed up 80s Jamaican singer
and
who was performing at your wedding? I'll send that shit to you, man.
Yes. Oh my God. Please do. Please,
Montego Brixton. At that point, we had become Pilot, I believe.
Yeah. Yep. We eventually became Pilot, and that was like the #1 Main Stage Sketch troupe. That's when it went from like a show into a team.
The house sketch team.
Yeah. Man, there were periods of time Sundays at IO West where I would do every single show.
Yeah, because you were in Top Story Weekly, you would do that. Then we'd do Main Stage Sketch.
Yep.
And then there was something going on after that.
Yep.
I mean, it was, man. You were just back to back. And then you would do everything, man. You were the bartender.
Yeah.
Pops up to the loft for a little bit. That's a one-man show there.
Right. Did you ever throw Andy Dick out? That's the one thing you may never done. Did you ever have to throw Andy Dick out?
John Moody.
What?
John Moody, God damn it. It's going to come out. Here we go all the way. No, here we go. We have to talk about it. We have to talk about it. There was one night where a young, shaved Sean Cowig with a faux hawk walked into the green room and heard somebody talking very passionately about the craft. And that person stopped and said, "Who is this skinny white M&M looking motherfucker?" And it was Andy Dick. And I was like, oh shit. And so then Andy Dick went on and he had this whole thing about, you know what you need to succeed in this business? Luck. You need luck. Money. You need money. Connections. You need connections. And talent. You need talent. But talent is the least important of all of them. Talent is the least important of all of them. And then he started to cry.
No shit.
And then he got it together. And then we had a fine conversation about stuff with some other people. And then he was like, I need to leave. And I helped him out to the front onto Hollywood Boulevard and hailed him a cab. And right as I opened the door and went to put him in, he definitely slid his hand down the back of my pants, cupped my ass, and said, you should come to my house. I have the best weed. And I said, no, thank you, Andy Dick. But it was a pleasure to meet you. And I put him in that cab and I shut the door.
You were gone too? Damn.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Dude, he goosed me. I've never in my life, there's no person in the universe that can slide a hand down the back of pants like that. It was insane.
He was a master at that. She was like a pickpocket.
He was.
But he wasn't trying to get a wallet.
He was
getting them cheeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jake.
But come on, man. I was wearing underpants, pants, and a belt, and he got hooked up on none of it.
That's into your asshole.
He's a pro. He knew what kind of underwear. He probably knew the type. He's a Calvin Klein. The 2007. He knew if you were wearing old underwear, if they were classic, he knew. He's done that many a time.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my
that
god.
That reminds me of my IO Andy Dick story that is not as entertaining. But when he was taking his portrait that they used to have hung up.
Oh my god.
The huge one.
Yeah, it was the door. It was like painted on the door.
Yeah. So he was taking that home with him after he was finally allowed back to IO. Oh. And he was trying to put it in his car by himself.
Oh my god.
And it was a whole, my like whole level, I want to say three class was all standing there. And our teacher was just like, nobody help Andy Dick. Just nobody help him.
Nobody help struggle. Andy Dick. That is no. That's
just leave him alone. It's for the best.
No
one helped Andy. Hilarious.
Nobody help him.
No, and we just watched as he struggled to like fit it because it's an awkward shape, and he was trying to fit it into his car, and it was just not happening. And everyone just stared at him.
Kristen, Sean.
Wow.
Hopefully this goes well tonight. I would love to come back and we just all tell like our celebrity encounter story.
Holy shit.
That shit, because remember, I used to be a limo driver.
Yes.
So I drove Bill Cosby.
Oh my God.
We're not going to get too much into that.
Oh my God.
Just the interactions we've had with celebrities and shit.
Yeah.
That is, nobody helped Andy Dick. Wow.
Nobody helped.
Nobody helped.
I had drinks with Rick James and Ron Jeremy. That's for the next show. Now you got to.
Oh my God. You are coming back. That is incredible.
Oh my God.
That is incredible. That's a sick burn. I want to know who that teacher was. I saw an IO teacher, and it was sometime where Dave Faustino was doing something at IO. Do you know Dave Faustino, Chris?
Children,
yeah.
Wait, man.
Did you got it? Okay, because here's the kicker. Teacher trying to give class notes. Dave Faustino coming out drunk, walks up to circle and tries to flirt with girl. And teacher says, "Hey, I'm sorry, bud, but could you give us a minute?" And just called him Bud. Bud Bundy. Sorry, bud. It was just
hilarious.
It was like shut him down. He was like, oh.
Teachers, Matt Legman. Remember Matt Legman?
Yes. Yep.
This is how I end up on stage with you guys. So yeah. I took a writing class with Doug Carroll, Matt Legman. It was one of Ann Beats' class.
Okay.
She did a class. It was called Beats 101 or whatever.
Okay.
And we were having pizza. And Matt and I, everyone's having pizza. And all of a sudden, Ann, she drops a pepperoni. And we were just having a conversation. And she just picks it up off the floor. Matt looks at me like, wait, can we not? And I'm looking at him like, no, we can't react to it. We cannot react. We have to wait until class is over, and then we're gonna laugh our asses off.
Yeah.
She just
ate a pepperoni off the floor.
And I think she did that to fuck with us. I think she was like, "I wonder what kind of reaction I'm gonna get if I do this shit."
Right.
Because it was perfect comedy. Because she didn't say anything. She was no reference to it. Just eat. Oh damn! I dropped the pepperoni on the theater floor.
Oh my god.
No.
Oh my god. Oh my god. That, I mean, but though that pizza from Hollywood Boulevard, if it was like from Greco's, if it, like, you might as well just put it on the floor first. Oh man. Well, Combos was all right, but still not great. And Greco's was like, you're going to get food poisoning.
Right. That's when you're like, I'm trying not to get a hangover. I want to put something on my stomach. Yeah. And I've had so much to drink. Food poisoning will be better than this horrible hangover I'm going to have. You know?
It'll pump my stomach. Yeah. Oh my god.
At that point,
just make the like short trek over to Joe's, or even like go just be even drunker at Kitchen 24.
Kristen,
what's the best pizza on Hollywood Boulevard, Kristen?
Well, I think I'd have to say Joe's. Well, because they've got this killer fucking calzone, this like meat calzone that's got like everything in it. And I'm just like, oh, hello there. And their sauce. I mean, their sauce. It's solid. Okay. Solid sauce.
Joe's is definitely the best, unless there's something new. Because the funny thing is, like, Christy, you chart it back long enough. Like, there was a period at I.O. where Joe's didn't exist. It was not there yet. And you had to pick Greco's or Combo's.
Yeah.
It was Hollywood was rough. Like, Hollywood then probably looks like what Hollywood looks like now. With like just everything, right?
Dude, first of all, okay, so this is gonna be an old reference. Did either one of you watch The Wire?
Yeah, I watched season one of The Wire and I'm into season two. I haven't watched it all though.
Okay, so this is for all the people out there who Hollywood now looks like Hamsterdam. Okay. To fill you two in, at one point in The Wire, they legalized drugs in this one part of the city where they're like, fuck it, you know, we're just gonna send all the drug dealing over there and the rest of the neighborhood will be free of crime and we'll just ignore it. So you just had all kind of junkies, drug dealers, prostitutes, just all kind of like the dregs of humanity in this one area of town.
Oh, wow.
That's what Hollywood looks like now, man. That shit looks horrible, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and pre-pandemic, IO West closing and that building kind of being empty. You read that thing, and they pulled people and guns and pit bulls out of there. Like, there's like a seedy underbelly that's like waiting to move into Hollywood if Hollywood gets unoccupied, and Hollywood is unoccupied right now.
It is unoccupied. No, they're there, dude. They're there, man. Yeah. I've been there. Man, it's like, damn, this is pretty scary. Look, I'll tell you this. I wouldn't be there past, I'd say after like 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hell no. Nope.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. And we grew up there. It's really true. In a lot of ways, like I grew up on that block, like on the corner of Hollywood and Cosmo. I cut my teeth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were you there? Now, Kristen, I'm not sure where you're from. Are you from L.A.?
Yes, I'm from Los Angeles, California, born and raised.
Which part of town?
So I actually grew up in a place so close to Orange County that I just say Orange County. But it was very interesting going into Hollywood proper once I started going for my like improv and everything and being on the boulevard and being like a person that has a mindset of like, oh, I'm relatively safe, and then going outside at 2 a.m. and then having Alex grab me by the back of the shirt and pull me back into the bar because there were some people like just fucking throwing down outside.
Right.
And I was like, thank you, Alex. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah. I remember Hollywood in the days before, like, if you go north of Hollywood, like Wilcox and all those streets, there are dividers there where you can't, like, you know, I remember when those streets were open and what happened, there was so much drug dealing going on over there and they couldn't chase people. So they would put barricades in the middle of the street so you couldn't turn, like, onto another street or whatever. It was crazy, man. In the early 90s, there was a lot of drug dealing on that section of Hollywood. And then it changed around, and now no one can afford to live there because I think rent's like, what, $4,000 a month for an apartment?
It's so insane.
It makes no sense. But like, they just keep building new, big, rich, expensive condos all over the place. It's like, we couldn't afford the first ones. Yeah.
And you know, it fucks with my self-esteem because I'm like, I can't afford to live in this shit. So who's doing it? Because they keep building them. So I'm like, well, somebody can afford this and it's not me.
Right.
So what am I doing wrong with my life?
Yeah. Yeah. I just moved. And it's funny because I was looking for a loft, but I always knew I wanted to live downtown. And that's where I am. I moved to downtown Los Angeles. But in my search, lofts came up and it was the Cosmo Lofts. And I'm like, oh, how hilarious would it be if I moved to the Cosmo Lofts now? When it was always a dream to be like, I could live across the street from I.O. and die, because then I'd just be there every night drunk. Like, you can't walk across the street to the place where you drink the most. That's going to
be. No. You need some separation, man. You need some time. Like, well, I need to sober up because I got to get home.
Yeah.
You need that.
Yeah,
you gotta have it.
You need that. All right, we're going to take a quick little break here on the Way Highway. Ooh. We're going to come back. We got some more John Moody. We're going to talk about voting stuff because you got to vote. It's coming up. Got to vote. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Adobe Radio, and you're doing the right thing, so don't move a muscle. Welcome back to the Way Highway here on Adobe Radio. My name is Sean, and with me is...
Kristen Sanchez, and our special guest today is our good friend, John Moody!
John Moody!
What's going on? And again, God damn.
Yes, well, I think we have a name for the episode.
Yes, God damn. Adobe Radio is dope. And I couldn't be prouder that Adobe is our home for the Way Highway. And it is Adobe Radio's official voter drive. So I just want to let all Way Highway listeners know, and you too, John Moody, that you can go to adobe.com/vote and you can register to vote and make sure that you are registered to vote, right? So you want to do that so you can vote, because we got to vote because we got the biggest. This is not, no, it's not hyperbole. This is the biggest election of our lifetimes, and it is coming up in November.
And if you live in Los Angeles, you can go ahead and make a plan right now by going to plan.lavote.net. And that is the registrar recorder's office. And they will give you a step-by-step plan depending on how you plan on voting and the best way in which to do it. And it also helps you check your registration and everything. So please make sure that you check all of that in advance and vote.
Vote. Vote.
If you don't vote, you don't count.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yep.
I have a shirt that says that. It's I wear it to every time I go vote, every election. It says, if you don't vote, you don't count. I got it from Congresswoman Maxine Waters.
Hell yeah.
Wow. Right. That's
on.
Awesome.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah. Hey, Jelly, do we have a little PSA? We just need to warn folks about the do's and don'ts of the Way Highway, etc.
Dr. King, Malcolm X, freedom of speech is as good as sex. Abe, Lincoln, Jefferson, Tom, they didn't need the atomic bomb. We need beauty, we need art, we need to get in rhythm. Don't give up your freedom of speech. Power to the people is in our reach.
Don't just sit there, let's get to it. Speak your mind, there's nothing to it. Vote!
And if you don't vote, you're gonna get a spanking. Cut.
Wow.
Amazing. Oh, man. Wow.
That was straight up Madonna in a pair, a set, if you will, of bra and panties, a red set, and then in the actual flag, the United States flag.
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember that.
I kind of remember that too. I definitely remember it. I must have been like, that must have helped form my masculinity, right? Young Madonna. Good God. Do either of you watch Ozark?
Oh my God. Yes.
Moody,
dude.
Yeah. So, dude, because there's a thing where Madonna's writing, or she's been having a biopic written for like ever, the Madonna story, who knows? And I guess it's like, it's moving ahead now more so. It's gaining steam. And she wants Julia Garner to play her. And they like started putting side-by-side pictures of an actor from Ozark and young Madonna. And oh man, it's uncanny. It's uncanny.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that until now. But yeah, dude, you're right, man. That one period where, you know, when she was doing like the Marilyn Monroe thing, you know.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Dude, I can see that.
You're going to be able to draw a line from Marilyn Monroe through Madonna to Julia Garner. I think I'm saying her name right. I think it's Julia Garner. If it's not, I'm very sorry. I apologize profusely. Please don't murder me like what happens on that show Ozark.
Yeah, for real. Dude, people get off on that show, and you're just like, you're watching, like, oh, Well, damn. Got a great show to work on, but you never know when your day, you never know when that's going to be your last day on set.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, it's probably a table read show where you're like, oh, I died. Oh, oh no. I want to be on a show like that. I like that. I like that.
I knew I should have started putting some money in savings. I didn't, I shouldn't have counted on getting to 5 seasons.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like everyone on The Walking Dead constantly just being like, oh God. Right.
Anything could happen.
Yeah.
Anything could happen. That's pretty incredible. I tipped a buddy of mine onto the TV show version of Friday Night Lights because front to back, it's one of my faves. And he's texting me all through it. And like, he was texting me about how like, it's so cool that actors really never go away on that show. And even like when the kind of the show, like it's about high school football. So people are going to graduate, but you graduate and it doesn't go away. And then the focus is shift to a different high school, but you still don't go away. And as he was saying how cool that was, my actor industry business, Sean Cowig head went, oh, damn, I bet they all had holding contracts. So, like, if you were in all of season one, but almost none of season two, but you're going to come back to season three, I bet you got paid all through that to not do anything else. And I'm like, oh, man.
Hey, man, I don't know if they do this much anymore, but when I got out here and started doing stand-up, they were still doing the whole, you could literally go on at the Comedy Store or the Laugh Factory or somewhere or the Ha Ha, and someone would come up to you and you would get a holding deal. And like back then you might get like $150,000, which in the 90s seemed like a lot of goddamn money. You might not do shit. It may never develop anything for you, but you got $150,000.
Yep. Yeah. And what do we like? I guess we just all like that era owes maybe left over from Charlie Chaplin, like how, like somebody made so much money for Hollywood that at a certain point people could get paid $150,000 to do literally nothing.
Now they did that to Dave Chappelle a few times. He had a few holes, which pissed him off because he could never, he was like, no, I want to blow up. My shit's going to blow up. My ass would have been like, it might happen, but I'm going to take this $150,000 shit.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, God damn it, Dave Chappelle. I honestly don't know if there's a person funnier than Dave Chappelle in terms of just like general funniness. He's so fucking funny. It like pisses me off how fucking just straight up funny he is. During pandemic, I've revisited all of his specials that are on Netflix. And they're all equally brilliant and like kind of, he knew this was gonna happen.
Right.
Yeah.
I saw Dave during one of his marathons. One of my boys, we were supposed to be going on at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
And so we're Greenblatt's next door, and then we heard Dave Chappelle came on, so we're like, oh well, fuck it, we know you're not going on anytime soon.
Right.
But we go back in. And Dave Chappelle asked someone in the audience, what do you do for a living? The guy says, I'm an art dealer. He goes, art dealer? He's an art dealer? Who are you? Wow, now I forgot the name. I blew the shit. Wow. Victor Maitland. He goes, who are you, Victor Maitland? That is such an obscure fucking reference. Victor Maitland from Beverly Hills Cop. That was the villain in Beverly Hills Cop, Victor Maitland.
Wow.
Now, there are about five of us who got that joke.
Right.
But the five of us who did were dying.
Yeah.
Because we're like, who the fuck references Victor Maitland?
Yeah, dude. Yep. God damn it.
I love that.
God damn it.
This deep dive, hard comedy for like just the comedy nerds. I love it so much.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, Beverly Hills Cop had Bronson Pinchot. Do you remember my boy Bronson Pinchot?
Get the fuck out of there! He's like Anima Scruff. No, that was before he was Balky.
Yeah,
that led to him getting on that show where he played the character Balky.
Perfect Strangers.
Yes, Perfect Strangers.
Oh my God, Perfect Strangers.
You old motherfuckers! Yeah. I don't know what the hell y'all talking about.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, that sounds like fun memories.
He's like, Now, were those shows in color? Were those, yeah. Had they been in color yet for television?
Like, right. I Love Lucy, right?
Right. Did that come on after I Love Lucy or after The Honeymooners?
Was it Gilligan's Island?
They
sorry,
were.
Kristen, I'm the oldest here, so I'll start with my old theater tales. Well, there was the time when I was with Ernst Borgnine, and we laughed.
Yes.
Amazing. Oh my God! I used to do summer stock theater, and every year they would fly. It was outdoor Shakespeare on a farm owned by a British couple, and dude's brother was a member of the Royal Shakespeare Company. It just so happened. Oh. So this dude would fly in and just, he'd never not have a glass of red wine in his hand, and he'd always tell you about Shakespeare and give you notes, and he was always drunk. And he'd give you notes on how Shakespeare should be performed, and he'd move his arms a lot and spilled his wine, and then he would tell some kind of a story about Sir Laurence Olivier, and it was just fucking crazy. And then Sir Laurence pulled his sword out, and the hilt came off, and the blade went flying into the audience, and he near severed a man's arteries. Sir Laurence, good chap. And then he went away. It was amazing.
Oh my
God. Dude, as soon as you said a couple from Britain and they were doing Shakespeare, yeah. You know there are going to be some Shakespeare snobs. They're from England?
Yeah.
And come on. That's,
yep.
Yeah, right. That's like if you go somewhere and they're like doing a consortium on hip hop and you're yep. from the States, you're like, no. That's not how you say the lyrics.
Right.
That,
right.
You know what I mean? Now, yep. man, Shakespeare, they're going to Now you're doing it all wrong. That's well, yep. when I was with Lawrence Olivier. Yep. You're gonna get that, man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. I'm trying to I don't even know. I'm trying to play Sir Andrew Ragucheek in Twelfth Night, and this motherfucker has been in fucking Richard III with Lawrence Olivier. Man, we're talking about apples and other apples that are different right. in shape and color and price.
Right. Wow. Damn.
Oh my gosh.
Damn.
That reminds me.
I didn't know you did summer stock theater, man. Yeah. That's dope.
Yeah. 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 What does it remind you of, Kristen?
I was going to say, it reminds we used to have a theater festival. Every year at this theater festival, there would be like one celebrity that would come in. And the year that I went for the very first time, the celebrity was one Matthew Lillard. yep.
Oh, wow.
He gave a speech, and it was really cool. And he talked about like all of the movies that he'd worked on, and it was just like a fun thing. And then he was gonna have like a panel maybe later on where like certain people could talk to him and la 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 if you weren't competing in your competition area at the time. Mm-hmm. And the one vivid memory I have of that, other than him being there, is this girl who wanted so much attention coming over to us afterwards yeah. and being like, so I happened to see him afterwards, and he looked at me and he was like, hey, and I looked at her straight in the eyes and I was like, you're lying. Just like straight up called her out. And I was like, there's just no way. There's just no way that he went from being on a stage surrounded by like thousands of students to right. being immediately alone with you. No.
No. Never happened. It happened like that way.
Yeah. Nope. And I was just like, I'm just gonna shut this down real hard.
Yeah.
Like there's an embellishment here.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Excuse me, ma'am. I must call bullshit.
Nope. Nope. Yeah. So let me segue here. I'm gonna segue us right into what Madonna was talking about, because voting times are coming up. And we have a little bit of, like, our story time is almost the things I learned while high for more extra things I learned while high. We got a little bit of a story time mixed with a double things I learned while high going on.
Right. Wow. Things I learned while
high. Fancy. First thing I'd like to do is I'd like to share with you a bit of this article I found it's The World. It's the online publication called The World. And the title of this is a quote: "I lost my right to vote before I ever had the right to vote." And this article is by Shirin Jaffrey. So here we go. Should someone who has committed a serious crime like murder or rape be automatically banned from voting? What about lesser crimes? In the U.S., even nonviolent crimes can be felonies, such as drunk driving, possession of a small amount of marijuana, or fleeing the police, just to name a few. And the mark of felon follows them along long after they've completed their sentences. Should these past offenders be allowed to vote? The question is long settled in some democracies, but not in the U.S. The United States is an extreme outlier when we look at prisoner voting rights in industrialized nations, says Mark Maurer, executive director of the Sentencing Project, a nonprofit organization that advocates for prisoner rights in the U.S. That is because of the harsh voting restrictions it puts on people with criminal records, also known as felony disenfranchisement. While each state has its own laws, nearly all take away an incarcerated person's right to vote. Some extend it to after the person is out of prison. In some cases, states go further, imposing a lifetime ban unless a board of clemency issues a pardon. Only two states impose no voting restrictions at all, and that's Maine and Vermont. Opponents of these laws say they are outdated and they disproportionately affect people of color. However, Maurer says supporters will sometimes say, well, you broke the law, therefore you deserve some type of punishment, and punishment may include loss of the right to vote. But Maurer argues you don't lose your fundamental rights of citizenship when you're convicted of a felony. You can still buy or sell property. You can still get married or divorced. You can submit an op-ed article in the New York Times and possibly get it published. Losing the right to vote, he says, is contrary to that. Supporters of keeping disenfranchisement laws have also argued that if you are not willing to follow the law, you cannot demand the right to elect those who make the law. To that effect, former British Prime Minister David Cameron said in 2012 that allowing serious criminals to vote made him physically sick. What a douche.
Yep.
Fuck that guy. Experts point to Florida as one state that has some of the harshest disenfranchisement policies in the country. Their felons are banned from voting even after they have completed their sentence, parole, and probation. Only the governor and a clemency board can reinstate a formerly incarcerated person's right to vote. This process can take years and sometimes depends on the whims of the board members at the time of the decision. 36-year-old Angel Sanchez, no relation, has experienced Florida's strict laws firsthand. Sanchez was just 16 years old when he was sentenced to 30 years in prison for attempted murder. The son of Cuban and Venezuelan immigrants, he says he started getting into trouble at a young age. Before he knew it, he was part of a gang sucked into crime. As a teenager, I couldn't see past 24 years of age, he says. I just saw what I was living. I saw friends getting killed, and I figured if it's between prison or dead, I'd rather go to prison. It was in prison where Sanchez turned his life around. His breakthrough came when he got a job at the prison library. They gave me a desk and they gave me my own chair. And when I sat down, I felt important, or as we would say on the streets, I felt official. Sanchez spent hours poring over books at the library. He wanted to learn about his rights as an incarcerated person. He read about disenfranchisement laws here in the States, but also how other countries have debated and solved the issue, like in South Africa. They recently came out of apartheid after that, they said we can't allow disenfranchisement or snatching away of voting eligibility simply because someone gets incarcerated, because we knew that people in power could be part of the reason that people get incarcerated, or the party in power would not care about the humanity and the importance of these individuals if they're not voting. Sanchez thinks that's what's happening in Florida today. He says by denying people with a criminal record their right to vote, the state is essentially telling them they don't matter. 1 in 10 Floridians don't have voter eligibility, but no one talks about it, he says. But Sanchez has been working to change that. His days in the library taught him that he could appeal his sentence. He got it reduced to 12 years. He served those years and got out. Once outside, he stayed at the Salvation Army shelter. With some luck, he got a minimum wage job at a fast food restaurant and eventually applied for community college. My first research paper in community college was on disenfranchisement, he says. Now that Sanchez is in the second year of law school, now Sanchez is in the second year of law school at the University of Miami, he's advocating for the Amendment 4, a referendum on the current disenfranchisement laws in Florida, and it's on the state ballot in November. Your liberty, that's your punishment, Sanchez says. You get arrested, you get incarcerated, you get held. When the time is up, you're let go. And so true liberty is supposed to be given back to you once you complete and pay your debt to society. That liberty comes with the eligibility to vote. And so that is really interesting. And the beginning part is disheartening. Mm-hmm. Sanchez, Angel Sanchez's story is great. And the reason why I love that I just said that is that gave the story is because Amendment 4 was on the ballot in Florida in 2018 and it passed with flying colors. 65% of the vote that has passed, right? And now people who were incarcerated for, so it doesn't count the right to vote restored to people with priorly felony convictions except those convicted of murder or felony sexual offense upon completion of their sentences, including prison, parole, and probation. So people are going to get their right to vote back in Florida, and that's great.
Yes.
That, go ahead. I'm sorry, Kristen.
No.
Oh, no. I was just going to give one little, I have two statistics that I think are very poignant to your point. And that is 6.1 million Americans cannot vote because of a felony conviction.
Yes.
And one out of every 13 African Americans has lost their voting right due to felony disenfranchisement. That's versus one in every 56 non-Black voters. So that's really fucked up.
Fucked up.
Yeah, and I'm glad we touched on this because when you think about it, when you get out of prison, do you still have to pay taxes? Yes, you do. Taxation without representation. Isn't how we got this whole shit started called the United States anyway? Right. Taxation without representation. Right. And that's what that shit is. I had to hold back from not jumping in because
sure.
It was a great story. Did a great job reading it. But absolutely, man, it's it affects people of color so much. And so many people are disenfranchised. And like you said, you do your time. When you're in jail, okay, you're not voting. And even something could be said about that. But all right, fine. But when you get out, you paid the cost, you've done your time, you go back to being a citizen, you're damn sure going back to paying taxes, they expect you to get a job, do everything else, you're a citizen, you should be able to vote.
Yes.
100.
Breonna Taylor, too, because that's big. I know we're going on tomorrow, but today we had the hearing come down, and I just wanted to say her name again.
Yeah. And really, we did not get justice for Breonna Taylor, and that's fucked up. And we did not arrest those cops, and that's fucked up. And that's why now, more than ever, we have to vote, and we have to vote on everything. And we're going to take a little break, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the election coming up because there is a lot on that ballot and not just what you think. There's, of course, the big things, but we're going to get into a little bit of the nitty gritty, if you will. You're listening to The Way Highway on Adobe Radio. Don't move a muscle. We'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to The Way Highway here on Adobe Radio. I'm Sean.
I'm Kristen Sanchez, and with us today is our special guest, John Moody.
I'm here.
Buddy.
Yes.
Tell me about your shirt that you're wearing.
Oh, my shirt from the shameless plug.
Yeah, no.
This is called The Urban Beat, www.theurbanbeatweekly.com.
So and that's what beet, happened, B-E-E-T.
Man? Yeah.
B-E-E-T, like the vegetable.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
So the Urban Beat is a new satire site. I'm a big fan of The Onion.
Yes.
Always wanted to write for The Onion and said, dude, you're not going to write for The Onion. Start your own shit.
Yeah.
But don't call it The Black Onion. That's just kind of, you know what I mean? I didn't want to call it The Black Onion. So I'm like, but I want to kind of play with the, not an onion. Mm-hmm. So let me think of another vegetable, a beet. The Urban Beat, because, you know, urban is always code word for black anyway. You know, well, yeah. An urban communities. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna call my shit the urban beat because that's a play on the word beat, and then there's the vegetable beat. So we got the fist squeezing the beat.
Yes.
And I've been doing this for about 2 years now.
Oh, hell yeah.
I try to do a story, a couple stories every week. It's been tough during COVID because you don't want every story to be COVID or COVID related, but ain't much else going on right now. So check those out. We're doing that. I'm actually working with someone now to totally redo the site to make it look a lot better. But for now, that's my way to be creative and to get my ideas out there and you know, write a fake news story. I stay away from politics only because people will believe any goddamn thing they read. It can be satire. You could write some bullshit. I mean, dude, I've written shit like, hey, by the way, if anyone wants to see the eclipse, I've got a couple tickets left if you want to check it out. And people have inboxed me to get seats to a fucking eclipse.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And, you know,
Trump shit, somebody's going to believe it.
Yeah.
Even though I stay away from the boats, the Trump boat, the Trump parade with the boats, I had to write about that shit because I'm like, if you're going to believe what I write about it, that's on your ass.
Yeah, dude. Absolutely. Absolutely. Trump boat parade. Good God. I mean, I hope for election results that just allow for less unsatirable material. Because, like, this shit is too crazy. I can't write something to make it crazy because a more crazy thing will immediately happen. Mm-hmm. All I can do is tell you what's actually happening and have you be like, really? I can't imagine. I talked to my buddy Dickie from Canada, and he's like after general ketchup and like, ha ha ha. And he's Scottish and Scottish via Toronto, and he'd work on the Hollywood Fringe. He's a former writer of The Way Highway. The reason I bring him up is because pandemic, he went from Canada to Scotland. So like he's in Scotland. And we hadn't seen each other for a while. After the general catch up, he's like, so you're American. And I was just like, oh my God. Because I forgot how like there are other parts of the world that are looking at us being like, wow.
Guess where I was supposed to go on Friday?
Where?
Italia.
Oh, no.
I was supposed to go to Italy, but you know who we are? We're those kids. I don't know if you had the type of parents where there's always a kid, the one kid that couldn't go anybody's house. He can't come in the house because they don't live right over there. But we're that kid. We're that kid that can't go to anybody else's house because we don't know how to act. That's who we are right now.
100% who we are right now. It's 100% who we are right now.
Yeah.
And segue, I'm killing the segues tonight. I'm killing the segues. How do we get to not be that kid anymore? How do we grow up? We need to find ourselves that cool friend that shows us about deodorant and what types of pants to wear. We need the cool friend that brings us out of our uncoolness and allows us to start going to the popular kid parties. And that starts with the election that's coming up. Now, the general election, of course, is Tuesday, November 3rd, right? And what are we voting on in that election? Well, we're voting to figure out who the president of the United States is going to be. So pretty important there. But also, for all 33 U.S. Senate seats are up, and all 435 seats in the House of Representatives are up, 11 state governors are up, right? So depending on where you live, all of your shit is very important. So you really, really have to go vote and you have to do research. For me personally, it's just going to be a blue wave. Like if it says Democrat next to you, I am voting for you because I'm done with this GOP bullshit. Fuck all of them.
Yes.
Okay. Let's get a little more, let's lighten the mood a little bit. Also, voting. There's going to be voting for legislation measures on marijuana / drugs in 6 states. And I'll explain why I say marijuana / drugs in a little bit. So we have Arizona, and in Arizona, you'll be voting to make marijuana recreational. So that's full legalization. Montana, recreational, that's full legalization. New Jersey, recreational, full legalization. In Mississippi, you'll be voting to make it medicinal. And in South Dakota, it's a 2-4. There's two parts of the ballot where you're voting medicinal and then also recreational, so they could get the whole thing done in November, which is pretty cool.
Crazy, yeah.
So the a wave of legalization of marijuana is coming. Now, here's the interesting thing, and the reason why I said there's Oregon. And Oregon is voting to decriminalize all drugs in a small enough amount, and specifically psilocybin, to do research on it. They want to legalize psychedelic mushrooms.
Really?
Yes, yes. Do you know about psilocybin research, John Moody?
No, I do not. Enlighten me.
Oh, God damn, I will. So psilocybin is the thing in marijuana, in psychedelic mushrooms that makes you trip out. They've been doing research in Canada on both microdosing it for general anxiety, so taking little bits of psychedelic mushrooms medicinally, and then also macrodosing for trauma, to release trauma. So the microdosing, pretty self-explanatory. You take a little bit each day. The macrodosing, you show up, you have a guide, you take like 4 to 7 grams of shrooms. So you just take a bunch of shrooms. You put on a blackout mask. You put on like noise canceling earphones that has like a meditation or some shit, or like some hypnotic therapy in it. And then you just trip the fuck out lying on the floor in a dark room with a person there making sure you don't like hurt yourself.
Damn. Do you know about play toads?
No, what? No, play toads?
Plate toads. It's a toad. I think they're called plate toads, but I'm not sure. But there's a toad. So yeah. Part of their defense system is they secrete like a hallucinogen in their backs. So when their enemies try to eat them, they trip the fuck out. So there are people who get these toads and they lick their backs and they get fucked up. You know, they start to hallucinate. And I'm wondering if that shit, can that be made illegal? You know, because you are hallucinating, but it's not. It's not a drug per se, but I was just wondering about that when you were talking about hallucinogens.
Man. Yeah, right. You know, it'll be made illegal only if it bumps up against some big corporation, right?
Yeah.
And I truly mean that. If they find out that like licking a toad could be a less harmful to your body way of like replacing some pharma drug, then they'll make it illegal in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
If it cures something, you know what I mean? If it cures arthritis, that shit's got to go.
Yeah.
It's got to go.
Yeah, you know, it hurts our financial.
Yeah, yeah.
But
really, the history of like almost anything can just be traced to that. Like marijuana itself, what was it messing with? It was messing with paper, rope, like anything that hemp could replace that we already had.
Yeah.
Killed marijuana. But, because we have to wrap up here, let's wrap up here on a high note. That's lots of good measures on ballots to push towards cannabis legalization. That's lots of good things on a ballot to apparently make Oregon the coolest motherfucking state in the union, man. Wow, Oregon. Gotta love you. And John Moody, it's been such a damn blast.
Man, I want to come back like in 3 hours. Can we do this again in 3 hours?
We'll do it again in 3 hours.
Everybody go get dinner, know, whatever. Y'all speak a little bit, and then we come back and do this shit, man.
Oh my God. Yes. No, for real. We need to hear some limo stories. So we're going to have you back very soon, okay?
Please. Okay. Kristen, it was great meeting you.
It's wonderful to meet you.
Love Neil. Neil.
He's my favorite.
We've got some days, man. We've got some stories and some times, man. And I'm not trying to get all sentimental and shit because we need to leave it on a high note. So man. It's good to see you, man.
And make sure you listen to The Way Highway each and every Thursday on Adobe Radio at 4 p.m. in the Pacific Time, 7 p.m. in the Eastern Time. And after the fact, man, go to where you get your podcasts and subscribe and download and leave us a review. We'd greatly appreciate it. Kristen, get us out of here.
If you'd like to follow Sean Cowick, you could do that at Sean Cowick. If you'd like to follow me, you could do that at Siren16X. Make sure to look out and check out Urban Beats. And you can follow our special guest, John Moody, at
Oh, you can follow me? Oh my God, I'm sorry. Oh, well, obviously I'm on MySpace and Facebook, but at JBMoody716 on the gram, at JBMoody716 on the gram. All
yeah.
Right.
Excellent. And thank you so much for listening, and thank you, Dr. God.
Oh yeah, thanks. And Nice Guy Digital, thank you. And thank you, Bernie and Jelly.
And Gregory Jenkins.
Yeah.
And thank you for voting.
Yeah,
thanks. You should vote.
Just in advance, I'm going to lay this down. Thanks for doing it.
For the love of God.
All right, you hi guys. Get out of here. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.